B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez. It starts now.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome in to the Midday Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. This is not Anthony Gargano nor Jason Martinez. You're going to have to deal with this again for another couple of hours. Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas filling in here this morning. Hope everybody's having a great Friday so far. Stay cool out there. I think it's supposed to be 120 degrees out today. So everybody stay near the air conditioning. Stay safe. If you're working outside, get some water, drink up, and you earn yourself some beers after work today. So everybody out there, stay cool. Happy Friday, Andrew.
You're going to start the show by saying 120 degrees.
I think that's an actual scientific calculation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good morning.
I didn't make this up. My weather app, I went to it and it said that.
All right. No, I'm good. I'm glad. I'm glad that you're using science on the midday show.
Yeah. I mean,
we don't normally believe in science.
We're an educated program.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yesterday we were outside, and today, I'm not going to lie, it's very nice being in the air conditioning.
Well, I agree.
So, yesterday I think we had a very good and healthy, you know, debate. And I don't think there was any wrong answers yesterday about Carson Wentz versus Ben Simmons. I think we had great interaction on the phone lines. I had a lot of fun yesterday talking with people. And it was good. But all it did was tell me that I have a football itch that needs scratching in a big way. And I'm not going to lie, the other night during the Phillies rain delay, I feel like every game was delayed this week. When it gets sweaty balls hot out, it's, you know, you're destined to rain. So, you know, I'm flipping around during the rain delay and I saw Eagles-Bears playoff game on NFL Network. And then last night, Eagles-Saints was on. And I didn't want to finish that one because I didn't want to relive Alshon.
I did that to myself a couple weeks ago. Yeah, me and a couple of buddies were just hanging out, drinking some beers at my house. And it was on the NFL Network. And we watched it.
Yeah.
Miserable.
Yeah.
Especially because we knew what was happening, and when the drive finally got there, we were all like, do we want to watch this? And we watched it. Hey, if it motivates the players, it should motivate the fans.
Absolutely. I mean, look, they were so close again to doing it, and that's what kind of led me to the pressure on Carson Wentz this year. And we did touch on it this morning just briefly, and, you know, I think Carson has an immense amount of pressure on him this year. But all it did was realize that I got a football itch that needs scratching. I'm ready for camp to start. Look, the Phillies picked up Drew Smyly today. We'll touch on that. We'll touch on the Hector Neris stuff last night because I believe, breaking news, you and I are on different sides of that one.
Yes.
And you're a longtime baseball player, so we'll get into that one. I think baseball players need to toughen the hell up. I really do.
No, it's not about being soft.
Did they insult the game?
No, I don't. No.
No, Russell Martin, toughen up.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we will. Dave Roberts, toughen up. Oh, you took it personally? Shut up.
Oh, I don't even care about the Dodgers players. I care about who it was that was taunting.
Somebody's got to show some life on this team.
I'll give you some numbers from Hector Neris against the LA Dodgers.
Oh, I've heard them. I'm very familiar with those numbers. They're not good.
Maybe Hector Neris should pipe down a little bit.
Say it with your chest, Hector. Throw caution to the wind.
Because Mr. Hector Neris, sir, you also gave up a home run yesterday.
Yeah.
You almost blew yesterday's save, too.
But he didn't.
And that final out was about 20 feet away from being another blown save.
I hear you.
So pipe down.
I don't care. Somebody's got to do it. And when Rhys Hoskins' ankle gets intentionally stepped on at least once, I will give Justin Turner the benefit of the doubt that was kind of the awkward second leg. I don't think he meant to do that. But the first one was intentional. Like, look, come on. Let's be serious.
They were both intentional.
You think?
Yes.
Okay. So even better. Thank you for making my case.
If you watch the slow-mo of the kick at Hoskins' foot, like, that's not something that an athletic person does.
I hear
unless
you.
They're trying to do it.
So that even betters my case for Hector to let the F-bombs fly at that Dodgers dugout.
Sure.
I loved it.
All right.
We'll get into it.
We can see what the people think.
But I want to talk some Eagles today because, you know, the preseason power rankings are out. The Bill Barnwell best offensive threats out there are out. We got fantasy football on the horizon. And when you look at this Eagles roster from a fantasy football perspective, I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches. You know, you got your running backs in Jordan Howard and Boobie Miles Sanders, who I believe is going to be a real deal player come the second half of the year. I mean, the wide receiver core has got to be up there towards the tops of the league as far as just talent. And I defy you to find another tight end 1-2 combo better than Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert.
You can't. No.
So Carson Wentz has a plethora of weapons at his disposal this year. The question I want to ask you, Pat Egan, maybe even Tyler Zuli, and our audience today is, obviously Carson Wentz is the most important Eagle to this team. I don't think anybody would deny that. You live and die with the quarterback position. Duh. Let's remove him from the discussion. Who is the most important Eagle to the successful season this year? Because mine is one. Look, I have one concern in terms of depth with this team, and that's the defensive end position. And to me, the most important Eagle not named Carson Wentz this year is a young guy entering his third year in the NFL, and that's Derek Barnett. Because this defensive end group is a little light. The depth isn't exactly there. I wouldn't be surprised if a Connor Barwin was brought in to be that veteran depth kind of guy. But they have three guys in Osman and Sharif Miller and who's the other guy I'm forgetting? Josh Sweat. That they're counting on to step into real roles for this team. So the depth isn't great. And Brandon Graham, as much as we love him, he is...
We world champs, baby, and that's all I got to say.
A lot of Eagles fans' favorite guy, great locker room guy, great at disrupting the pocket, great at getting quarterback hurries and pressures, all of that. He's never been a big sack guy. I think his career high is 8.5 sacks. So when I look at this team from afar, I see them having a lot of eggs in the Derek Barnett basket.
Yeah.
And for me, he needs to step up or that position group could be in trouble.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's going to be an important player, and that's why they dropped him 14th overall a couple of years ago. It was a shame what happened last
year. And he's still young.
Yeah.
He's coming off the injury.
And he's
shown flashes.
He played pretty well his rookie season. And last year, it was a shame that he got hurt. Going back to your thing about Brandon Graham, I'm still not happy with the contract. I think he got paid too much money at the age that he's at.
I think they paid for what he brings to that team. I think he is a stabilizer in that locker room.
Yeah.
And sure. I think they paid him some for that. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. I just think that's what it
is. And I remember a couple days after that contract happened, Derek Gunn joined Anthony and Jason and talked about it and saying, because let's face it, D Gunn and Brandon Graham,
they're tight.
He said he was going to get that contract somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like he was going to get that same amount of money somewhere else. So he ends up getting it with the Eagles, so you overpay a little bit to bring him back. And as you mentioned, the depth at the defensive end position, it's weak right now.
Thank you, 97.5.
You're welcome.
So
yeah, I'll give you that.
But, all right. So who's yours?
I'm going to Deshaun Jackson. You love
this
job.
That 10 mode. We're going to get back to the 10.
You want to get back to that 10 mode, huh?
Sure.
All right.
Deshaun Jackson. And it's because I go back to two seasons ago when you had Torrey Smith. And Torrey Smith was not the same player at... Like, Deshaun Jackson can still be explosive and can still blow the top off the defense. And Torrey Smith wasn't really the same Torrey Smith that we saw with the Baltimore Ravens. But Torrey Smith was a threat deep down the field, and that helped Carson Wentz. Even though Carson Wentz wasn't necessarily always throwing it to Torrey Smith.
No,
even though Torrey Smith had a case of the drops.
Keeps the defenses honest.
It kept the defense honest, and that helped guys like Nelson Agholor. It helped Zach Ertz. It helped Alshon Jeffrey. But the reason why it's Deshaun Jackson is, A, you have that deep threat again, which helps everybody else. B, he does have injury history, Deshaun Jackson. He's a little guy. You know, he gets banged up. I think he does a great job keeping himself healthy because of his size and because of his limitations with his body. But there are times where he gets hurt. And if you lose him for a multitude of games like you did last year with Mike Wallace, you lost Mike Wallace after week one, and you saw how bad the offense was last year going down the field because you had nobody to go down the field with. So Deshaun Jackson to me is the next important guy. Like I was saying Malcolm Jenkins yesterday when we were bringing this topic up, but I needed to dig deeper, a little deeper. And I think Deshaun Jackson's going to have a huge impact for this team.
I do too. And there's no wrong answers here today. And that's the beauty of it. You could name 12 different guys and make a case for him. I mean, I don't want to steal people's out there, but I do want to open it up. And we'll give some FanFest tickets to some of the best answers today. Look. We're less than a week away from Eagles training camp. It's starting to get real. I don't really have many problems with this roster in terms of depth. I think it's one of the best on-paper rosters they've ever had. I'm jacked up for football, and I want to hear from you guys. Who is the most important Eagle outside of Carson Wentz? No doubt Carson Wentz is the most important. So remove him from the discussion. I'm Derek Barnett. You're Deshaun Jackson. We'll open it up to everybody out there. 610-632-0975. Looking forward to another midday show with Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic, 1012.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back in 97.5 Midday Show. Jamie Lynch in with the Chunis, Andrew Salchunas. A lot of people are tweeting in that we sound alike. I know your father said we sound alike. Angry Al just tweeted in and said we sound alike.
I don't hear it.
I don't hear it at all. Pat, do you hear it?
Yeah, no, not at
all. Yeah, it's not like two guys that used to work here. You sounded identical to one another, but I don't hear it at all.
No. This, yeah. What is Mark? Okay, your boy. Mark,
I think you
Farzetta.
Pull up the mic flag and tighten the screw.
What does he do to the mic?
I think he gently caresses it.
Does he just grab it all day?
You know what? I'm not a huge fan of these screws here. They don't really hold that well. But you got to...
I'm just going to have it straight up.
You need a microphone blue chew over there. That's what I do. I do straight up and down because that way it doesn't get limp on you. Come on, man.
These microphones. See, I don't like this. I'm uncomfortable.
It looks weird. Well, you have it, like, sit up a little higher.
No.
You God, look
what
weird.
What a diva.
I know, right?
No. Guy fills in one time for the Midday Show, and all of a sudden he's demanding, like, the best microphones.
You guys are going to paint me as an ass face. I see how it is. No.
Yes, exactly.
The guy grabs the mic all damn day, and it falls.
It falls a
and
lot.
And it does this.
Yeah.
And here I am.
You need a mic Bluetooth, bro. We can get Trey to hook you up.
Let's go.
So we started the show talking about the football itch. We're going to dive into the Hector Neris stuff in a second, but Stephen Philly wants to hop on the conversation, and we're going to get to him in 1 second. Plenty of open lines if you want to get in. Who's the most important Eagle this year not wearing the number 11 jersey? Very simple. And when I look at this roster, I have one concern on paper. I've heard people say linebackers. I think Zach Brown is a very underrated signing in terms of depth for the linebacker position.
I agree.
I think Kamu Grugier-Hill has played pretty good ball here.
That's my guy.
You like Kamu?
I'm a big Kamu guy.
How could you not?
He kicked off
87 yards or something. That's impressive as hell. So I think he's been kind of slept on a little bit. I think he plays... Look, this is a defense that majority of the time only plays two linebackers. So I think Camus done a very nice job over the last year. I like Nigel Bradham a lot. I think Zach Brown's being slept on a little bit. And then they brought in your boy LJ Fort. You got the LJ Fort college jersey. You're all LJ Forted up. I'll give you $5 right now if you can tell me where LJ Fort went to college.
Wisconsin.
Not even close. Northern Iowa, bro. Come on. So, you know, I've heard people say that. I've heard some other things. I look at this team and this roster. I'm slightly concerned at the DN position. I am. Because all the eggs are in Derek Barnett's basket. He's got to be the guy that could potentially be the double-digit sack guy. And Brandon Graham is, I don't think he's ever done it in his career. If he did, it was 10.5 one year. I'll have to look that up. But I think he's like an 8.5, 9 career high type of guy. Very effective. Disrupts pockets, great with hurries, good against the run, not really, because he gets a lot of like PFF love and stuff like that. A lot of people rank him highly. But you're going to need sacks on this team to help that secondary out. And I'm looking around and I just see, all right.
Are you as concerned about this secondary going into this season than you were last year? I feel a little more confident.
No, I'm kind of... It's an interesting position, the secondary group.
We have to see what Sidney Jones does coming back this season.
He's probably going to be your slot cornerback starting out the year. But Rodney McLeod was a bigger injury. Let's just talk all secondary, not cornerback specific. Rodney McLeod was a huge loss for this team last year.
Yeah, I tried pointing that out when he went down. A lot of people told me that he wasn't worth the money and that we're not going to miss him.
He could be, after this year, a cap casualty.
Yes.
Because he has a high number. Maybe he'll restructure to stay here if the open market money doesn't dictate that. But the new trend in the NFL this offseason, and it's part of why Malcolm Jenkins was a little perturbed, is safety started getting paid again.
You got
Landon Collins and the Honey Badger getting like $15 million a year, and Malcolm's over there at like 9.5, like, yo.
And think about it. Even if Rodney McLeod comes back, you could maybe give Malcolm Jenkins like one playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Think about, yeah, he played every single snap.
He played
on defense
like 99% of snaps.
No, he played every snap last
year. It's insane. And does special teams.
Yes. So maybe Rodney McLeod gives him like one playoff.
Yeah. I mean, just pay the man some guaranteed money. Like, I don't, you don't have to pay him $15 million a year. Just guarantee some money for him. So, you know, I think Rodney McLeod's going to stabilize that group again. He's not the sexiest player in the world. Like, he doesn't get a lot of picks. You know, the big hits, it was sold to us coming from St. Louis.
Right.
I don't see him that often, but what he is a player that doesn't screw up. And frankly, with the safety, that's kind of the most important thing in the world.
Yeah, especially when you have weaker corners.
Yeah.
Now, this year, like I like Avante Maddox.
I love Avante Maddox.
I've never been the biggest Rasul Douglas fan, but he did play a very big role in that second half of the season last year when everybody was hurt.
I think Avante Maddox saved the season last year.
Yeah, Avante Maddox. Yeah, Rasul Douglas.
And Rasul shows up just come game
time.
He
filled in. Yeah,
for whatever reason, I don't know if it's practice related or what. He doesn't see the field a ton, and you know, he shed some weight this year. He got a little more jacked up.
Good.
He's ripped up. So it's going to be a very competitive group, and a competitive group is good for the overall team.
Yeah, and think about it, like we were making jokes about Cravon LeBlanc calling him Matt.
Cravon LeBlanc.
Calling him Matt LeBlanc from Friends.
No, jeez. Oh,
but
low hanging fruit, Junis.
He played well.
No, he did.
He played very well.
Avante Maddox and Cravion LeBlanc played very well last year. Rasul played pretty well, and they helped stabilize that season after some turmoil there in the secondary.
And then you'll get a little burst when Ronald Darby comes back.
Well, Ronald Darby is on a one-year prove-it deal.
And Jalen Mills.
And Jalen Mills. Look, both these guys are playing for money next year, so you would expect their best. Sidney Jones is a guy I thought played pretty well in the first four games of the season, then got the hamstring injury, and it was all downhill from there. And that's the big concern with him is, can he stay healthy? Look, Sean Payton picked on him in that game because he knew his hamstring was toast. He knew he was in trouble, and he knew he wasn't 100%. So kudos, Sean Payton. Smart move. But he's going to be your slot corner this year, and it's a big role on this team. So he's got to prove that he can stay healthy. And, you know, it's going to be a very interesting group. It looks like it's going to be Darby, Mills, and Sidney Jones as your three starters until proven otherwise. But you have great depth behind them. I think Avante Maddox is a guy that can steal Jalen Mills' role. So you could,
I'm a Jalen Mills guy.
I don't hate Jalen Mills.
I'm one of the few who actually like Jalen Mills.
I think the hate on him is a little overblown.
When he got hurt last year, the secondary was terrible until guys like Cravon LeBlanc stepped up after a few weeks of getting their feet wet playing for the Eagles. But a couple of weeks after Jalen Mills got hurt, the secondary was terrible.
Oh, yeah. And look, the thing you can say about Jalen Mills is he struggles between the 20s, no doubt.
Yeah.
But what's the purpose of the game?
It's don't let them score.
Don't let them score. And Jalen Mills is a very good red zone cornerback. Look, there's no double moves in the red zone, really. You know, occasionally you can bite on one. I think the play he got hurt on was a double move on the sideline. They might have been at like the 25, 30-yard line, but whatever. It was close enough. It's very easy to say a cornerback could be the most important because there's talent, but there's no surefire can't-miss starter. Jobs can be taken in that group.
Right.
So it's going to be a very, like, of the camp battles, that's the one I'm most focused on because I want to see, I love Avante Maddox. I think he can step in. I think the kid's a playmaker. What he did between cornerback and safety last year, phenomenal find in the draft. I really have high expectations for him. And, I think it's a great group, but I look and I see Derek Barnett as the most important Eagle to the team's success this year outside of Carson Wentz.
Right, and I said DeSean Jackson because I look back at the Super Bowl year when Torrey Smith was the deep threat, and even though Torrey Smith wasn't catching a pass every single week because he had a case of the drops, he still helped Carson Wentz have a deep threat, and it opened things up for other guys on the offense, so that's why I go with DeSean Jackson because you did not have that deep threat last year, and I think that hurt the Eagles' offense.
And not that Carson has a bad deep ball by any means. I think like the haters will say, oh, his deep ball is not that good. He's never had a DeSean Jackson before.
Right.
So if there's one thing I want to see Carson get great at this year, it's that 45-yard bomb.
Yeah, and not only that, like we complained last year, going back to how yesterday we were talking about how Carson Wentz didn't get many criticisms like during the season. One of the things I was critical about was he didn't give the 50-50 ball to a guy like Alshon Jeffrey.
I think he was more so afraid
to do the 50-50
ball.
So
the year he should have been MVP, I will say that. I think towards the second half of the season, he got better at those 50. He realized, all right, I just got to give Alshon a chance.
Yes.
The first part of the season, I don't think he was doing that at all. I think he was getting better at that as the course of that year went on. So that's something to continue to build on. And last year, look, I have a hard time even really
being critical of the guy who had a broken back.
He didn't get a training camp. He's coming off. He busted his ass to come back off of a knee injury. He's got a broken back that may have happened early. And so, you know, this is it. And that's why there's so much pressure on Carson this year. But it's a great conversation I want to get into with you guys today. We got plenty of FanFest tickets to give out. We're feeling extra giving today. So let's get it kicked off on the phone line. 610-632-0975. There's one open line if you want to get in. Steve in Philly kicks off the conversation. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great, man. We're talking football. I'm good.
I'm always good. I can't wait for it to get back. Now, a player I think that needs to step up is actually Sidney Jones.
That's a good one. He's going to be your slot cornerback. And look, that guy in this defense is on the field 82% of the time, so it's a good one.
Yeah, and here's what I say. You draft him when he's hurt. You draft him high because, you think he's going to do good. Then he comes back. He's lingered by injuries last year. So this year has to be his year to where he steps up because, I mean, as I like Jalen Mills, that double move, how he always gets beat on that double move.
Sure does.
Just irks me with it.
Yeah, and Sidney Jones is a guy they had a lot of hopes for because you passed up on some pretty great talents after Sidney Jones, like Alvin Kamara and some other guys. So
exactly,
you know, Sidney Jones, it's time to prove it, man. You got to stay healthy, one, and two, your play's got to be up to what, you know, was supposed to be a first round pick.
Exactly, and I, like I said, he's just the biggest one to me. He's got to step it up, and hopefully the injuries are gone with him.
Yeah, and Steve, what are your expectations of the Eagles this year? Are you Super Bowl or bust, or are you a little more patient?
I'm going to say, as stacked as they are, you got to get to the Super Bowl. You have to.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, Steve. We're going to hook you up with a pair of FanFest tickets. Thanks for kicking it off today on the phone lines. It's, you know, you could talk to 50 different people and get 35 different answers today on this subject. There's so many guys. I mean, think about the offensive line.
Yeah, so a couple people have been tweeting in, and that's fine.
You can get us on Twitter as well if you can't get to the phones today.
Right, Gary Holland at the Boston Gary, long-time tweeter of the station. He said, "What about the concerns of Jason Peters staying healthy?"
That's a great one because Trey's thing with Andre Dillard is immense talent, and this is a very fair point these days. Pac-12 player,
yeah,
that's a little softer talent out there.
And also, let's face it, Think about some of the best quarterbacks that sat behind a legend for a little bit. Like Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre for a couple of years.
No, him sitting behind a healthy Jason Peters is best case
scenario. Imagine just watching Jason Peters. And we've seen many reports that Jason Peters has taken Andre Dillard under his wing. Uh-huh. So imagine the two of them a Tuesday after a game sitting in the film room. Just the two of them and saying, all right, look, this is what I'm doing here. This is why I did that. If Jason Peters can play 16 games healthy, and he just misses a couple of snaps here and there because we all expected it this point. He's not going to play every single snap of every single game. It's not going to happen ever again with Jason Peters. But if he can play the majority of the snaps through 16 games and he can give Andre Dillard that learning curve, that would be huge.
Yeah, feeling great. Did you hear the stories about how Jason Peters, when he first became, I think this was on the Ross Tucker podcast like 2 months ago. So he's at University of Arkansas. I think he was recruited as a tight end.
Yes.
And, you know, I think they had a couple injuries to the O-line. He wasn't getting any playing time as a tight end. He was a little overweight. So, you know, I think the coach said to him one day, and they had a very good D-end on the team at the time. He ended up going pro. He's had a very good career. His name escapes me. I think he's a longtime Bill. Aaron Schofield or?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was there. So, you know, very good player. And they said, Jason Peters, they just said, hey, go out there.
Go learn.
Yeah. We want to see you on the line. We want to see what you got. And the story is that Jason Peters immediately, having never played offensive line before in his life, went out there and dominated.
That's awesome.
Like they said Schofield couldn't even get to the quarterback in practice. And that was without technique. That was without anything else. So my only point with that is sometimes with those guys, it's hard to teach.
When it just comes so naturally.
Because it's so natural. It's why Michael Jordan could never be a coach. Because he'd be like, well, why aren't you doing this? And the guy's like, I'm not Michael Jordan.
I remember a couple of weeks ago.
He struggled with
it. Yes. A couple of weeks ago, somebody said, why don't the Sixers bring in Larry Bird or something like that? I was like, well, first of all, he's
is he still with the Pacers in a front office role?
Okay. No, he's not going to coach. He's not going to be a three-point shooter.
Why would you want to coach?
Because he's going to say, like, he's going to look at Ben Simmons and go, dude, how come you're not making it?
Yeah.
It's like,
hey,
because it's so natural for a guy like Larry Bird. It's not going to, he can't just translate that to Ben Simmons.
Yeah. So there's a lot of good answers out there because, you know, it's, there are, like, we're all hyped up. And on paper, this is great. But, you know, every football season never goes as you planned it. So there, something's going to come up where we went, oh, damn, how do we overlook that?
Right, there's so many positions. Like, I said DeSean Jackson really because I wanted to be a little bit different because mm-hmm. I know a lot of people would have said Malcolm Jenkins. But DeSean Jackson has a huge role for this team. You could say Zach Ertz because Zach Ertz, especially in the beginning of the season, I guarantee you Carson Wentz will still be a little hesitant to throw all over the place. Like, he's going to want to get his feet wet, right?
Oh, yeah.
So Zach Ertz is probably going to have a big impact for the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season. That's
until
just
he gets comfortable, yeah.
And then until he's comfortable, that's when you'll start seeing guys like Alshon Jeffrey getting more and DeSean Jackson getting more. So you could say that Zach Ertz. Now, am I worried about Zach Ertz at all? No, not really. I think the guy works hard. I think the guy knows everything he's doing out there. My biggest fear with DeSean Jackson is because of his build and because he does miss time, if he gets hurt, you don't have another deep threat on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Because Nelson Agholor is not an outside receiver. We found that out last year again.
And one thing I want to see from the offense this year is a little bit more of the 12 personnel. I want to see Goddard and Ertz out there together. I think it's a dynamic option that not a lot of teams are going to be able to defend. So I want to see that a little bit more. Let's go to Chuck in North Carolina. What's going on, Chuck?
How's everybody doing today?
Doing well, man. How's North Carolina? You guys hot down there too?
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, I'm here digging a trench right now for a little.
Of course you are.
For a little pond pump.
Ah, nice. A little pond, a little koi pond.
Man, Andrew, I got to get my hats off to you, man. You've really stepped up since I've been listening to this show, and I'm proud of you, man. I've watched you grow, and I've watched you become amazing at what you do. And you, man, you just keep on doing what you're doing, and you're going to be right there where Mikey Miss and all them are. So.
Thanks, Chuck.
Chopped liver, Chuck?
Yes.
No, I'm just trying to get past him. And you do a great job.
Don't get Andrew's head too big. He's still young, all right?
No, but I'm kidding, Chuck.
No, Andrew does a great job.
He's really stepped up. So I just like to step back and say, hey, you did a great job.
Next time, just throw bouquets my way, all right?
Well, I'll be seeing y'all on the 24th.
Are you coming up, Chuck? Good.
Yeah, I'll be up there. Awesome. Andrew, when are we supposed to get our tickets?
Jeez, you're really going to ask me this question on air, Chuck. Wait for the damn email.
I'm sorry.
I thought there was an email. Just making sure.
Check your spam folder first. Sometimes they go
to the spam folder. But just wait for the email. They send a mass email to everyone.
Yeah, I thought so from last year when you had said that. All right, so check this out. I love everything on the Eagles. My step-up guy is we need a linebacker to step up this year.
You're not wrong.
We really do. I mean, we can have all the greatest stuff in the world, but you know, our linebacker, that's the one that I'm suspect of. Everybody says defensive end. Everybody says corners. I say linebacker. I mean, we got to find somebody that can step up and be a good talker and just really communicate and get everybody together. I mean, we know Fletcher Cox is going to do it, but, you know, we really just need that good linebacker. But what I'm worried about is we have a great team on paper, but I feel like we're an injury away from being mediocre, or being halfway through. You know, we get an injury, which I'm not trying to say we are, but that is
football. What injury? I mean, if you say Carson Wentz, then that's an obvious one.
Not Wentz, but like say Barnett goes down, or say Jalen Mills goes down.
Oh yeah,
you know, do we have good fill-ins to where, you know, we go from great right now to, man, we're just kind of
Doug Peterson blazing the next man up mentality, man. Next man up.
That's what happened during our Super Bowl run, so I can hope that. But this year, I don't see those step-up players on our roster. I feel like we've invested a lot into our starter, and that's great, but I feel like we kind of really got to stay healthy this year in order to make it to where we're going.
Absolutely, Chuck, and thanks for the call, buddy. Every single NFL team can say that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with them, but did anybody know who Craven LeBlanc was? No.
Oh, I've been following that kid since high school,
man. Yeah, sure he did.
Hell out
Jim
here.
Schwartz. After one of their wins, said, I'll be honest, I did not know who Craven LeBlanc was. Like, they signed him, and he did not know he even existed.
Yeah.
So they're going to find guys that's up to the scouting department. There's guys that were drafted this year that will find a way to step up. There's guys in the practice squad. There's free agents. They'll make trades. Howie Roseman is never hesitant to make a trade.
No.
So if it's a big injury, they'll find a way to fix it.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, if you want to extend this to coaches, by all means, do it. Because Jim Schwartz is a guy that's been in the crosshairs of a lot of people. And Doug Peterson's a guy that, look, you know, Frank Reich might have had a huge impact on this offense 2 years ago. So he's considered, you know, I've seen some people have the Colts as number one in the power rankings. Frank Reich looks like a very good coach. So his effect on Doug Peterson, look, I think Doug's a great coach, but don't sleep on the effect he had. So if you want to extend it to coaches, by all means, get in there. But Chuck is right in this. If Derek Barnett, Brandon Graham, or Nigel Bradham go down, they might be in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, obviously they'll take a slight step back, but you still have Fletcher Cox. I love that they brought back Tim Jernigan.
Yeah, that's a great
move.
You got
Malik Jackson.
Malik Jackson, people kind of almost forget about.
Yeah, so they have a very great interior defensive line, and that obviously helps your defensive end. It's like the corners, right? If your front four is getting to the quarterback, your corners look like elite players. When they're not getting to the quarterback, your corners, it doesn't matter who they are, unless they're like Darrell Revis in their prime.
Yeah.
Your corners aren't that good. So if they're getting to the quarterback, if the interior line is getting to the quarterback, I don't care who's on the outside. They'll find a way to wrap the guy
absolutely
up.
Pete in Princeton, David in Baltimore, Rick in Turnersville, and Tyreek on 95. Hopefully he's not in any of that construction. Are kicking us off on the other side. We got two open lines, 610-632-0975.
And I also want to get into the Hector Harris thing.
Oh, we got to, because we disagree. And again, I'll have to prove you wrong. I mean, how many L's can you take, you know?
Oh, God. Go ahead.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you're listening to 975 Fanatic, filling in for Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertidis. It's Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Time at the Fanatic, 1042.
Gargano and Mertidis Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10 a.m. hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all styles of windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Welcome back into the 97.5 Midday Show. Not Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertidis, as the guys are off on a little R&R. Andrew Salchunas and myself, Jamie Lynch, filling in today. We're talking football, mostly. We are going to get into this Hector Neris thing, because I think baseball players are soft. I think they all need to toughen up a little bit. What's wrong with a little smack talk in sports?
No, I don't
agree.
I think it's annoying how the Dodgers reacted, but I also think it's annoying what Hector Neris did.
I've been changing a lot of diapers lately. The Dodgers are as soft as Skyler's deuces.
Okay.
All right? So we'll get into that. You just hold yourself.
All right.
All right?
I'm not even agreeing with the Dodgers.
Uh-huh. You support that man. He won that stadium Chick-fil-A sandwiches yesterday.
He's got to pipe down a little bit.
Chick-fil-A sandwiches,
I'll
man.
I'll explain myself later.
You're wearing a Dodger shirt right now.
Yeah, seriously.
You're dodgered up.
Yeah. Why are you so dodgered up?
Why are you defending them?
You love bandwagon the Dodgers. Hopper. Jeez. Apparently he's a big Dave Roberts guy.
He hosts the Dodgers show.
the Dodger baseball show on 6 p.m. every night.
He does it at 9 p.m., but it's 6 p.m. So it works.
But we are talking a lot of football this morning. And coming up on Tuesday, very cool event. We do these every year. The Roundtable broadcast. This year, you can join Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertidis with special guest Super Bowl champion Brent Celek and our man, I love him, our Birds insider Tim McManus, because he's a LaSalle College High School man.
Wow.
Representing out there. For a pre-training camp football roundtable live from Riley's Pub at Valley Brook Country Club this coming Tuesday starting at 10 a.m. So if you're around Valley Brook, if you want to stop by, say hello to the fellas, say hello to Brent. I'm sure he'll be wearing his ring. That's always
probably. Fun fact about Brent Celek and the Midday Show, he basically announced his retirement Midday Show. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Because Jason asked him, like, so are you coming back next year? And he's like, no. he basically announced his retirement on the Midday Show.
I'm not feeling it.
And then somebody asked the question, like, hey, would you take a $10 million contract to play with the Cowboys? And he said no. Now I'm sure he would have.
But, all right, Brent, I don't believe you. But
he said,
I appreciate the answer.
He said no, and I'm good. I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
And then it came out a week later that he announced his retirement.
I believe he's doing a little bit of the real estate thing these days.
Yeah.
And he'll be there on Tuesday with Anthony. So Tuesday, stop by Riley's Pub at Valley Brook Country Club. Anthony and Jason, Super Bowl champion Brent Celek, and Birds insider Tim McManus.
Don't
want to miss that one.
Don't worry about
it,
Jamie.
Let's go back to the phones, man. Let's go to Pete in Princeton. Pete, what's going on this morning?
What's up? How are you guys?
I'm doing well, man.
I have a very simple answer to who the most important Eagle this year.
Good, because it's not a complex question.
it is Nick Sudfeld.
Oh, that's a little outside the box. I like that.
Because Carson Wentz will get hurt. He will miss a few games.
You think he's going to get hurt? You don't think he can do it?
100%. 100%.
I wish I could argue against you, but I'm just going on blind faith that he's going to stay healthy. That's all I got.
And you know, us Eagle fans, it's all of a sudden, well, Sudfeld can make the throws, and we're not going to skip a beat. And we're going to see if he needs to step up because we're supposedly,
though. The security blanket is gone.
Well, supposedly it's, I mean, just think of what's been said in the last couple weeks. We have the best offensive line in football. We have the best wide receiver core in football. We have the best defensive line in football. So we have the best tight end in football. All these things are being said. No one will ever say, ever, that we have the best quarterback in football, ever. That will never be said either.
No.
And
hopefully after this year that narrative changes, Pete, but I hear your point, yeah.
And if he gets hurt, which he will, the quarterback's going to have to weigh the storm because we're going to be 7-4.
Look, Pete, if Nate Sudfeld comes in, the season's over. Let's just call a spade a spade.
Let me tell you something. I wish people were held to what they say, because the narrative is going to be immediately, well, we have the best around them, we have the best team, and there's no reason why Nick Sudfeld should lead this team to a 3-1 record in the 4 games that Carson's out. If Wentz goes down and the season's over, is that how we're thinking? I'm not thinking that way, guys.
I unfortunately am. Look, I haven't seen enough from Nate Sudfeld in preseasons and limited snaps in late season games to be like, yeah, he can do the job. I mean, the team around him is great, and a lot of times that can work out, but I'm certainly not optimistic he can hold it together.
The conversation, it's a Friday morning, the conversation is going to be, on a Friday morning, next 4 games, Sudfeld's our quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody there is going to say the Eagles can go 3-1 in those games because of everything that I just said a minute ago.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
The best tight end, you know, so he needs to step up, guys.
It's a very good answer, Pete. Do you have tickets to FanFest?
Yeah, I do.
All right, awesome, man. Good stuff. Have a great weekend, Pete. Thanks for calling in, buddy. Real quick piece of NFL news out there that it just kind of broke a little while ago, and it's a big one, especially for our old friend Big Red out in Kansas City. The NFL won't discipline wide receiver Tyreek Hill over the abuse claims. They found he did not,
It's disgusting.
Really?
It's, look, the guy's got a little bit of a track record to him. I always tend to believe the accuser here. You know, there is some speculation out there that maybe some of the tapes were doctored to paint him in a bad light. But when it comes to abusing a child or a woman, I'm always going to take the child and woman's side until proven otherwise. I don't think there's been enough evidence to prove his side. But according to the NFL, he did not violate the personal conduct policy, so he is eligible to enter Kansas City Chiefs training camp.
Create a new policy.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know 100% of the details. I've listened to a lot of the snippets of the tapes. I tend to believe her and the child. I don't know how many, like 1.5, 2-year-olds are lying about, daddy hitting me.
Yeah, getting punched.
Yeah, so, I mean, I tend to believe the child. It would take a pretty damn imaginative child or somebody being fed information from somebody else to say those things. So I tend to believe them, but it is a big piece of news around the NFL. Tyreek Hill eligible to enter camp with the Chiefs.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.